What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Here we go.
That's all you can say. Here we go.
I've been talking about this since Friday afternoon when I emailed everybody. Texted Jen. I said, I'm coming at you Monday. And she said, bring it. So here we go. Robin Greek is with me as well. Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, retired FBI and retired FBI, Jennifer Coffendaffer, in the left corner of the ring. Or I know it's like
that's
round
no laughing
one.
Matter, but it is.
Fight.
Right.
We're talking about the Lindsey Clancy case, and we will do it civilly, and we always do, and I love that.
Definitely.
And I think it's important because so many people who have been watching this case in depth, closely, like I know we have a lot of people watching it passively, but it's created a rift in a lot of relationships and a lot of conversations, and it's okay. It's okay that other people look at things differently and understand things differently. What's not okay is just being like, screw you, I don't want to hear you. Like, let's try to understand a little bit where everyone is coming from. And at the end of the day, you can still disagree. And then you can say, screw you, I don't want to. No, that's not ever a good thing. But to actually to get there, to understand how one person is going from point A to point B, that's what we're going to try and do today as we break down the Lindsey Clancy case. Your thoughts are welcome in the comment section, Substack and YouTube, wherever you're watching us. The link are in the description. Okay, let's get into this. The defense of the Lindsey Clancy trial has rested. Their final witness was Dr. Philip Resnick, the psychiatrist who helped acquit Andrea Yates. And he told this jury Clancy was psychotic the day she killed her children. The prosecution answered with rebuttal experts of their own, starting with Dr. Avram Mack, who says she retained responsibility. Jennifer Coffendaffer, like I said, she is here with us to help break it down on her perspective. The guilt argument says she never told a doctor about the voice. And that's true. Her own expert admitted it on cross. But nobody in that courtroom is arguing that she was well. The prosecution's official position is mentally ill, but responsible. And Dr. Zeisel testified that a month before the killings, she went to a clinic paranoid, saying her brain was damaged and that she should end herself. Everyone agrees she was sick, as much as the prosecution said it won't be a referendum about mental health. How sick does someone have to be before you say, not responsible? It seems to be an issue here of where is the bars? Where's the goalpost on this? Jen, I'm just going to throw it over to you. Where is the bars on this? I mean, where are you on this, too? I think we all can agree somewhat that she was sick. Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, I agree she was sick. Look, anybody who can take exercise ban and strangle the life out of their kids five and below is sick. This is the issue for me. And the bar is very simple. I see the goalpost. It's in bright neon. Was she in her mind understanding right from wrong? And could she have stopped herself? It's so simple. In other words, were there bats flying around in her brain and she didn't know where she was and she didn't know what she was doing and she wasn't making any sense. She was incoherent. She was a hot mess up here. No, that's not the answer, but that's my bar.
But that's not what psychosis looks like. What you're describing is not psychosis.
Hmm. it depends on who you talk to, right? You have half of the people saying that are quote unquote experts saying she was able to determine that. You have Resnick saying no. But listen, this
I'm saying psychosis isn't like sitting in the corner with bats flying around your brain.
Oh,
psychosis can look very normal. It's more about where true north is for you, basically, at that moment in time. What I would say, the way I try to understand it, a state of psychosis would be like this. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. A compass. Remember back in the day, compasses. Most of us remember compasses. You know, you can be in an area where your compass reading can be off, where the magnetic pole is screwing up your compass. And you're like, but if you don't know that there's a magnetic pole that's screwing up true north on your compass, and you are not familiar with the environment or what's going on here, you may be thinking you're going north and you may be going southwest. But because that pole, your compass being off, is inaccurate, you don't know that. So you're going to keep following your compass because your compass hasn't screwed you up yet. It's taking you in this direction. You fully believe you're going in the right direction. There's nothing telling you that your compass is off until that pull ends, whatever it may be. And then you're going back, how the hell did I go, 18 miles in this direction when it says I've been going this? And you're horrified. That's how I'm looking at what was going on in her brain that day.
Interesting analogy, Tony, but this is where it fails. At the point that you fall off a cliff, at the point that you put your foot in a ravine and lose your balance, at a point at which you do something that is detrimental to somebody else, that's when the wake-up call comes and you're like, no, I'm not going true north. I'm going due south. And she, in this process of murdering her kids, had all sorts of mud puddles and cliffs she was falling off of. And, you know, I'll get into my philosophy on this, but I just want to take what your question is.
Yeah.
Have you seen somebody in psychosis? Because I personally have. I'm going to give you examples. Number one, working the job. People who were psychotic based on their drug usage. These people had no, forget about north and south. They didn't even know who they were, what they were doing as they're picking their skin off, as they're, trying to get their methamphetamine fix. One jumped from about a 3-story window, not even a 2-story window. By the way, he did just fine. These people are batshit crazy. Okay, so there's that I've personally seen. I have a relative, sadly, who still very much suffers from psychosis. She thinks the U.S. government is after her. She has pulled out her fillings. She has tinfoil on her walls. She wears tinfoil when she goes to bed. And there's no way to medicate her. There's no way to get her help because she's not a danger to herself or others. She just lives in this state of paranoia. It's really super sad.
Drug-induced psychosis.
That's not drug-induced.
Well, you were talking about meth use, so that's where I went with.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Toby. The first example.
Then the other one. I mean, it's not postpartum psychosis. They're not the same sort of.
Cancer. There's so many different types of cancers. Like saying, well, you didn't die of your cancer because you had thyroid cancer. Oh, actually, you would die from that.
Saying you have colon cancer, but you didn't get breast cancer.
Psychosis, and this is postpartum, and even postpartum has many different manifestations. I want to also emphasize, these are my interpretations and assessments of what the actual professionals are saying, not me. I am actually synthesizing, and I'll go through when we get to it, my protocol for listening to the professionals with the experience in the area talking about these expert things as testimony, not my conjecture, and just what the experts are saying on this. And the arguments for against it from lay people in the audience like me are moot to me. I'm listening to the experts. I'm listening at Cross. I have watched every single testimony throughout this thing, and I have my criteria for agreeing and disagreeing with things, and there's just nothing on the area when it comes to anything having to do with the postpartum psychosis. It says she didn't have it. She definitely had it, from my interpretation and assessment of what the experts have said, including the number one in the world, Resnick. I don't care how old you say he is. I don't care whether, and he did it 3 months after she actually committed it compared to Mac. Okay, 4 months after, compared to 3.5 years after Mac and the other Yahoo showed up that have zero experience with postpartum, except going back till 2001. He's a generalist. I mean, again, I listened to the entire thing. I am going to go, don't worry, I'm not having a stroke. The sun went down. it's pretty good, isn't it?
I was a little worried.
The dark cloud, Jen, you're sitting a dark cloud against me. And I also want to, again, I'll get more into this in a second, but for everyone watching, I want everyone to understand, before this even started, we all reiterated our love for each other. We're all good friends. We care for each other. And regardless of the outcome of this, I'm not feeling any differently towards Jen after this, but I have very specifically said, I am 180% completely opposite of everything she said on this case, absolutely everywhere. But that's why we're here, to understand, so you all can understand where we're coming from. I am on the researcher side. I am on what they're saying. I'm on the preponderance of what the experts are saying on postpartum psychosis. And then I'm looking at the behavior arc. I'm looking at every single family member that knows her through her journaling, through her life, from people that wouldn't even, if this was any other human being, wouldn't do this. So when you look at that totality, when you look at the medical totality, when you look at everything you're seeing and presented, I'm like, the preponderance is there. So even people saying, well, anyway, I'll let it rest.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different sides. Let's talk about the planning on this. A lot of this depends on what you believe of the experts that have testified, their history, their expertise. One of the experts that was brought in was an expert on the Andrea Yates case about the bands. Resnick. Andrea Yates planned to. She waited for her husband to leave, and then she drowned the 5 children one at a time, methodically, over an hour. A jury heard all of that and said, insanity. Dr. Resnick testified Clancy was following a command voice, same finding made in the Yates case. So if the planning didn't prove sanity for Yates, does it prove it for Clancy? I guess it really depends if you believe Andrea Yates. I mean, I guess I should ask that question because it really qualifies where anyone would go with this. What's your opinion on Andrea Yates, Jen? Was this...
Sorry, Tony.
No.
First of all, one point that I have to get squared away on this whole cancer analogy. I think it's a horrible analogy, and let me tell
accurate.
You why.
I
because
it.
If you have cancer, which is this growth and spreading of cells, I don't care whether it's in your pancreas, whether it's in your breast, whether it's in your brain, that it has the same mechanism of injury, mechanism of taking over. It just starts in a different place. And so when it comes to psychosis, I will say it is analogous in this way. You guys are trying to say it's not analogous because you're trying to say it's because the body part. No, in my opinion, cancer is cancer. Still the recreation of cells over and over that kills you. And psychosis, it's psychosis, whether it started in one way or the other, it still means you are psychotic and have no control of your brain.
But it presents, that's not what psychosis means. Psychosis doesn't mean having no control over your body.
But cancer also, some cancers are more aggressive. Some cancers are less aggressive. Some will kill you in a couple of weeks or days. Some will kill you after 10 years.
The point is, that I feel about this is we all have experiences with various types of people. Sometimes you have people that have been in various types of psychosis, this or that, but it's like, that's not them. That's not who we're talking about over here. And it's not the same thing. I mean, because unless it's postpartum psychosis and we're talking about like Andrea Yates, where it comes very close, very same scenario. I don't think it's a fair analogy to talk about someone in psychosis because of meth use or because of underlying ongoing medical condition that torments them daily. You know, the her falling in and out of psychosis here seemed to be fairly rare, or if to ever, other than when this occurred. So they're just fundamentally different things. It's not the same sort of thing. So to say this person had it over here, great, but what does it have to do with this? That's kind of where I'm looking at, because it's easy to jump over to go, well, I saw it present this way, so that must mean it presents that way over here. It doesn't. It just doesn't. So I think that's important to understand, you know, the case, to understand where she was and how she was interpreting these things. We can all agree it's horrible, but is it the same as someone who's picking their skin away because they're in a psychotic state that's drug-induced? It's not. There's a theory that she's a sociopath. She even Googled whether sociopaths can be treated. But a sociopath caught for murder fakes crazy to escape punishment. That's the playbook. Resnick testified the testing showed the opposite, no faking. And she downplayed her own symptoms as well. She wasn't trying to, I'm really crazy, let me live this up more. If she was faking, I mean, there's tests for this. There's a Rorschach test. If she was faking, why was she downplaying symptoms instead of playing them up? Wouldn't that be the opposite of what one would be doing if they're trying to fake this?
Okay, sorry. Can I go back, though, to your question on Andrea Yates?
Yeah.
Get to this one. So on Andrea Yates, it's very important to understand that there were two trials, one in 2002 and one in 2006. Yeah. I was in Texas at that time. Many of us lived through this. My co-worker, Cindy Rosenthal, her husband, Chuck Rosenthal, was the one in charge of that trial.
Okay.
And so very much, I don't know if I want to say insider knowledge, but certainly knowledge of a lot of things that happened in that trial and what was admitted, what was not, what was deemed way too prejudicial. Of course, what happened with their expert sort of fantasizing about this law and order thing that got that thrown out. But it's very critical to point out that Resnick was the defense on both sides, and he didn't sway or have, you know, the influence he hoped to have in the first trial. They took the facts and so forth in the first trial and convicted her. So she was convicted. It got overturned because of one of the experts, their recollection about a Law and Order episode that didn't even exist.
Right.
It was in the making, by the way, and it did get made later. But my point on this is this. We get two different juries, everyone. Two different juries.
That's why it's tough.
And to say that, I mean, it's just two different, right? So it doesn't surprise me at all that there were two different outcomes. When you ask about Andrea Yates, ever since she was a teen, had serious mental issues, everyone. Please go back and research. She was bulimic. She was suicidal. She had so many issues before she ever got married and had kids. And boy, let me tell you, once she got married and had kids, it even went off the rails. She was schizophrenic. She was hospitalized. She was a hot mess of mental illness. Horrible. We can never, ever compare the two. When I compare them, it's to show how you can't compare them. Their backgrounds are completely different. If Lindsey Clancy had Andrea Yates's diagnoses of bipolar, of schizophrenia, of suicide, of everything she had, I would have likely a different view on this case.
But that does.
But Jen, you just said it.
At all.
You said Andrea Yates, and I agree. Andrea Yates had a lifetime of issues. Her first suicide attempt came after her third child, and so she was diagnosed, actually attempted to be diagnosed for an extremely long time throughout her life, which was not the case because it manifested differently in the post. So she had stuff that was going on prior to being postpartum, and then postpartum kicked in and threw a lot of kerosene on it with Yates. And I never compared it to Yates until other people compared it to Yates, and I was trying to show comparisons and actually a timeline when certain things were happening with Yates at the same birth times that were happening in Lindsey Clancy as well. In other words, the first suicide ideation happened around the birth, around the same type of child. It wasn't on the first one for Yates, it was on the third. And for Lindsey, same thing. It happened later on. So all I was doing was, there's more comparisons that you can draw between the two than not.
So Jen, she does have. I mean, it may not be as long of a path as Yates did, but there certainly is, you know, in the very least in the months leading up. My conjecture is she's probably been undiagnosed bipolar for a long time. But in the months leading up, diagnosed incorrectly, I mean, that happens, and it certainly appears to have been what happened here, getting the wrong types of medication. So she was diagnosed incorrectly with generalized anxiety and anxiety and depression, basically, and being treated for that with drugs that interact basically the opposite of what you want if you actually have bipolar. It works against you, and that's what was going on with her system. The S-ideation, that's all there. That she did have that. So, I mean, I guess she did have those qualifying things you were just talking about, Jen, leading up to the actual event.
Not diagnosed mental illness. Look, she was.
Yeah, it was mental illness. It was depression and anxiety. It just wasn't bipolar.
And back to your point about these meds, this is critical to understand that 4 years later, 3 years later, 4 months later, if you look at the list of the different meds she was on per the testimony, mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's the same medication except for Wellbutrin was added in. Other than that, it's still Seroquel. It's still a benzodiazepine. It's still a stabilizer. When I saw the list, I'm like, okay, that's exactly what they had given her anyway. Now, I don't know about the exact dosages. They didn't get into all of that.
Well, it's up and down, and it's on this, it's off that.
I mean, it's so important to understand what was in her body at the time. And all it was dosages that were therapeutic.
But nobody's arguing toxicity. Toxicity.
I'm just saying everybody is. Everybody's saying,
it's incorrectly being argued because that's not the point.
That's very rare. But let's go back to the original question that we're talking about, though, is the malingering aspect of it, her faking it and over-exaggerating. But every single expert that testified, got it right here, not one of the medical experts, not one person at room said at any point, was she faking? Was she exaggerating? Matter of fact, the test that she took says that she underreported things because she was an exaggerator. And so the thought process that she faked it, that she wasn't truthful, every single expert, both from the prosecution and defense, said nope, she was truthful throughout, no malingering whatsoever.
Okay, you ready, Robin? Ask you something 4 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 months from now. It is unrelated to how she was at that time. Period. End of story. When I'm interviewing
everyone in her life, also agreed. So you're saying that you are the one individual in her entire world that says she's lying.
When I interview somebody, if they are under all of this medication and they're talking about self-serving statements, they've got this million gazillion dollar lawsuit open and everything else. Self-serving. The later ones, absolutely, Tony.
But Jen, you just made an argument that you're right and everyone that testified is wrong.
I'm not making a statement that I'm right or wrong. I'm making the statement that I do not put credence in a psychiatrist, a paid psychiatrist. Not that I don't think they are very good in their field. They are obvious experts. It was such an education for me, for sure, and I'm sure for lots of people, to just hear about postpartum psychosis, to hear about drug interactions, to hear about, generally speaking, it was very interesting testimony by everybody. But they don't know Lindsay Clancy. They sure as hell don't know her from that moment that she made those
her
decisions.
Her family does.
But
friends do.
Her family wasn't even interviewed. They did. The one
I meant
the
for her life. Through all the, but
about,
all the people
didn't
testifying.
Even talk to her husband.
All the people testifying didn't see it. And when it comes to congruence, so here's how my behavior team worked. And this is where my lifetime in the Bureau works, is that when we did a behavioral assessment, we assessed people for truth, veracity, and congruence and all these things. So we made the behavioral observations. Then my operational psychs, matter of fact, one of them is Dr. Chris Mahandy out on the West Coast, Dr. Reed Malloy. We had some of the best in the world that tested to make sure our observations were congruent with science. And so my 23 years of reps with the FBI of doing these assessments, when I was looking, I do my observation assessment. And so I saw nothing but congruency on the witness stand from her, and nothing but congruency in everything we see. Again, we don't know her, you're right, in those moments. But when you take the preponderance of what the experts are saying, what they tested for, you take what I'm witnessing in the courtroom, and then you take what the people in her life are saying, which are the best indicators for anyone, are the people in your life. And there's not one blip that she has ever had anything of exaggeration. In other words, there's not one report anywhere that says she's a liar, she's an exaggerator. There's nothing. So this would be the very first time in her entire life that she did that. And that's what makes it incongruent.
She told everybody, I want to harm the kids, and nobody listened to her. She told her father that. So by this premise,
she was truthful.
She knew. She is the most responsible for this, obviously.
Absolutely. And the planning happens in psychosis. That's what Dr. Resnick described very, very well. It's not just command hallucin. I know you don't like Dr. Resnick now.
No.
But you did on Yates because he helped convict Yates.
No, he helped get her off. I mean, he didn't help convict.
I know. He helped defend her because of the
psychotic rape. One time, yes. One time, no. One time the jury bought it. One time the jury didn't.
A world-renowned expert on it.
On which jury you're looking at.
So who would you listen to on the stand if not Yates, if not Resnick?
Okay. In this situation, I would listen to anyone, Resnick, any of them. Mac, if they would have interviewed her, and I understand all the legal issues involved in this and how long it takes. I totally get it, how long it takes to get the expert on board and blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is I would listen to the people who diagnosed her, who met with her at in and around the time of the murders. I can't go 4 months later. No possible way. And medicated and talked for a whopping 3 hours. I've conducted witness interviews of a loose witness. In other words, that wasn't the one that hinged on whether the case was going to result in a conviction or not for more than 3 hours. I mean, gang investigations, 5 hours, multiple times, 10-hour interviews to get information. You're going to hinge your decision on this case, Robin, based on a 3-hour interview to a medicated individual 4 months later by an 88-year-old who, by the way, forgot where he interviewed her.
I'm going to base it on him. I'm going to base it on all the other testimony. I'm basing it on my own observations. I'm basing it on every single person in that courtroom that has been testifying. I watched it. I evaluated it. I assessed it. And again, it doesn't matter what I think anyway. It's just what the jury's going to get, which I think is going to be on the jury.
At the same point, Jen, too, the expert for the state that came in at the end here,
Mac.
Didn't talk to her for like 3 years or after. And again, a very short interview. So I'd put about the same sort of weight there too. I mean, even worse because it's so far out, you know, years later. What was it like 3 years ago at the worst moments of your life? Like, I mean, you're not going to get the most accurate either way. But overwhelmingly, I would say, I mean, the experts here, you know, that have testified, I think have really laid out, how this works, how psychosis works, and folks who've lived that world as their career path, working with people who are suffering from it. I don't know, it's been very compelling. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue this conversation.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on Spin Quest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to spinquest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on spinquest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like live dealer blackjack and craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.